Gentlemen, I don't have my lapel mic. I'll just use the pulpit. All right, the children's church dismissed at this time. We do have a handout tonight for you to take notes on. If you did not receive one, if you hold your hand out, up, not out, but up, Brother Phil will be happy to bring that to you at this time. We're continuing our study, what is called the Pastor Discovery Class, and this is part two, lesson two. And the reason I hand out the notes here, in fact, this is in one of our school rooms here in Landlands Christian School, and I want to share it with you. It says here that if you come to church, especially like tonight, and you just sit and listen, that's all you do, you come and sit and listen, then about 3 months from today, you'll remember 20% of what I say. But if you sit and listen and see, look on the screen, so that not only hear but see what we cover tonight, then 3 months from tonight, you'll remember 50% of what I covered. But if you sit and listen and watch on the screen and you write it down and then you discuss it with others, you remember up to 70% of what I cover tonight. However, if you come and you watch, hear and see and write down, and then you teach it to someone else, you remember 95% of what I cover tonight. So you get out of it what you put into it. So many people come to church and they sit and listen. And I'm so glad they're here. I'm excited about that. But if all you do is sit and listen, 20%, 80% when I cover tonight, and you won't remember. So that's the reason I give out the handout for the notes, that you write these things down. So the title of this Pastor Discovery Class Part 2 is Understanding Great Doctrines of the Bible. When I use the word doctrine, that seems kind of cold. It means teachings. How many believe there's great teachings in God's Word? Amen. And so we're going to cover some of those in this class. This is Lesson 2. Last week, we talked about understanding the difference between cleansing for salvation and cleansing for fellowship. Tonight, we're going to talk about understanding the difference between the believer's standing and the believer's state. So what we're going to get into tonight, when you first hear, you said that doesn't make a lot of sense. Write it down. And by the time we get mostly through it, hopefully it starts making sense, and take it back home with you and go over it again. Many Christians become discouraged in their early stages of the Christian life and even lack assurance of their salvation. Often it's because they do not understand the teaching of the study, the teaching of the believer's standing and the believer's state. Those two words, standing and state, is also referred to among Christianity as the believer's position and practice. And I will use that interchangeably tonight. The believer's standing, same thing as his position. The believer's state is the same thing as his practice. And here's what C.I. Schofield, the Schofield Bible is one of my favorite Bibles. If you have a C.I. Schofield study Bible, he said this about the standing and state. A distinction of vast importance to the right understanding of the Scriptures, especially of the epistles, is that which concerns the standing or position of the believer and the state or practice of the believer. The first, the believer's standing, is a result of the work of Christ and is perfect and entire from the very moment that Christ is received by faith. Nothing after salvation of the believer adds or subtracts to the smallest degree of his title of favor with God, nor his perfect security. Through faith alone, the standing before God is conferred, and before him the weakest person, if he is but a true believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, has precisely the same title as the most illustrious saint. And so please listen, this is a tremendous truth to understand, the difference between the believer's standing and the believer's state, or we say believer's position and his practice. So what do we mean by that? What do we mean by the believer's standing or the believer's state? It's most important that every believer should know the difference. First of all, let's look at the believer's standing. I hope you write these down, underlined portions on the board there on the screen as blanks on your sheet. Let's look at the believer's standing, first of all. The believer's standing is his position before God. The believer's standing is position before God. When you trust Christ as Savior, you're placed in a position before God, and that position never changes. The believer's standing is his position before God. Number two, our standing is what we are in Christ. Our standing is what we are in Christ. Now, I'll elaborate on these further as we move along in the study. Number three, our standing in Christ is absolutely perfect, just as he is perfect. Let me say those again, talking about the believer's standing, or you could say his position. The believer's standing is his position before God. Our standing as believers is what we are in Christ. Our standing in Christ is absolutely perfect, just as he is perfect. That's our standing. Now look at the believer's state. The believer's state. Our state is what we are in everyday experience, in our behavior before others. Our state is what we are in everyday experience, in our behavior before others. Our state is based upon our practice or spiritual condition before men. Do you see the difference between the two? Our position is perfect. Our practice, many times, is far from it. When those who believe you can lose your salvation do not understand this truth, they base your salvation on your practice and not your position in Christ. I'll say this two again. The believer's state, our state is what we are in everyday experience in our behavior before others. Our state is based upon our practice or spiritual condition before men. Interesting, the word state, we're going to show you what's used in the Bible, is used of a person, either his spiritual condition or his physical condition. Go with me now to Philippians chapter 2, please. Philippians chapter 2. Here the word state is used, a man's spiritual condition. How spiritual he is and how his walk is with Christ in his everyday experience and his everyday practice before men. Philippians 2:19, please. Look for the word state. Philippians 2:19. Paul said, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your" what? Your state. Talking about his spiritual condition. "For I have no like man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Timothy was a tremendous young man, a young preacher, and Paul sent him to the church of Philippi that he may hear how they're doing spiritually, to see what their state is in Christ. Now, keep your finger in Philippians. Go now to Colossians. Go to Colossians chapter 4. Both of these verses refer to a man's state, his spiritual condition before men. Philippians 4, 7. I'm sorry, Colossians, thank you. Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. We're coming back to Philippians in just a moment. Again, this is talking about a person's spiritual condition. Colossians 4, 7, he says, "All my" what? "All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord." So Paul sent Tychicus to Colossae, church of Colossae, that he would share with them what Paul's spiritual condition was. That's his state. Talking about a man's spiritual condition. Now go back to Colossians. We're seeing that Paul used the word state also referred to his physical condition. Philippians 4:11, please. Philippians 4:11. This is not in your notes. This is not on the screen. I don't think, is it? Philippians 4:11. Notice what it says here. Paul, many of you know this scripture already. He says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. He's talking about his physical condition. And by the way, Paul learned physically, no matter what his condition was physically, he learned to be content. But he was not content with his spiritual condition. We know that in Philippians, talk about that he is not yet perfect, but he said, I press toward the mark of the high calling God. He constantly tried to be more spiritual, more godly, more like Christ. So there's nothing wrong that we would be content in our physical condition, whether we abound or we suffer need, or it talks about be abased or bound. We should learn to be content, but never be content with your spiritual condition in your personal walk with the Lord. So listen to that. How's your condition tonight? Spiritually, how's your condition? On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you put yourself tonight? Now, how's your position? On a scale of 1 to 10, give yourself a 10. Because you're perfect in Christ. That will never change. Your practice has no bearing or change on your position. Your state has no influence upon your position. The opposite should be true. We're going to show you later on. God gives us a position we have in Christ. He says, now put that into practice. Understanding our position. We're going to look at our position before salvation. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Our position before salvation, Scripture says that we are in Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. Our position before salvation, that we are in Adam, is the position we were in. This is true of every unsaved man. It was true of you before you were saved, born again. Our position or standing before God before we were saved, we were in Adam. It says in chapter 15, verse 22, 1 Corinthians, he said, for as where? In Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Here's the two conditions, position before salvation were considered in Adam. After salvation, letter B, our position after salvation is in Christ. Our position after salvation, we were in Christ. For in Adam we all die, even so in Christ shall we all made alive. Now go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now tell me, am I going too fast? I want you to understand this. I want you to write it down. It may not make full sense, but what a joy it is to know this great truth in our everyday lives once we understand the difference between our position and practice and our standing and state. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Look at it. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. That's your position. Or your standing. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. New creation. He goes on to say, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become what? Now, let me show you what the old things were that passed away, and what the new things are now that you are in Christ. So here's a contrast between the two. It's on the screen. I don't know if it's in your notes or not, because we're going to go through this quickly. I want you to see a contrast between the two positions. The position you had before you were saved, being in Adam. The position that you have now that you're saved in Christ. The old things and the new things. First of all, in Adam, we were all old things. We were a child of the devil. But now, we are a child of God. In Adam, you were spiritually blind. In Christ, now you're able to see. In Adam, we were condemned to hell. In Christ, we're not condemned. In Adam, you shall not see life. In Christ, you have everlasting life. In Adam, the wrath of God abideth on him. In Christ, he's saved from wrath through him. In Adam, we were dead in sin. In Christ, we're passed from death unto life. In Adam, will be cast in the lake of fire. In Christ, you'll be no wise cast out. In Adam, you shall utterly perish. In Christ, you shall never perish. In Adam, you have no hope. In Christ, you're looking for the blessed hope. In Adam, you are far off, and Christ been made nigh by the blood of Christ. In Adam, you're considered aliens and strangers. In Christ, you're fellow citizens of the household of God. In Adam, your sins are not forgiven. In Christ, your sins are forgiven. In Adam, you shall not obtain mercy. In Christ, you have received mercy. In Adam, you shall be punished with everlasting destruction. In Christ, you shall be blessed with all spiritual blessings. In Adam, we're considered sinners. In Christ, we're called saints. In Adam, you're unacceptable before God. In Christ, you're accepted in the beloved. In Adam, you're under the curse of the law. In Christ, you're redeemed from the curse of the law. I know with that quickly, but I want you to see the difference. Now, all that's true on that right-hand side in Christ, that will never change. That is the position you've been placed in, that's good for all eternity. That's your position in Christ. In Christ, you are perfect. Now, I like to look at some scriptures that address the believer's standing. Now, I'm going to have the scriptures on the board so you can see them. And they want to take a time to turn to every one of them. The believer's standing. First of all, the believer is God's child. That's your position. You're a child of God. John 1:12. But to as many as received him, to my Christ, to them gave he the power to become the what? The sons. The word son does not leave out women. It's literally the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So you're standing in your position before God. You are a child of God. The next one, scriptures that address your standing, is the believer is an heir of God. The believer is an heir of God. In Romans 8:17, it says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. So number one, the believer is a child of God. The believer is an heir of God. Number three, the believer has an inheritance. The believer has an inheritance. Ephesians 1:11. It said, in whom we have, in Christ, the word in whom is Christ. In Christ also we have obtained an inheritance. It says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Because you're born of God, everything that belongs to God now belongs to you, because you're an heir of God. My children, when my wife and I, everything, my wife and I die, everything we have, they will inherit. That's not much, but they will get it because they were born of us. When you are born of God, you are now an heir of God. You have an inheritance. Everything that belongs to God now belongs to you. That's your position in Christ. Number four, another standing or position of Christ, believers are a royal priesthood. Believers are a royal priesthood. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That's what you are in Christ. Number five, believers are kings and priests. Believers are kings and priests. Revelation 1:5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our own sins in his own blood, hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. That's our standing. That's our position. You were placed in when you were saved. These truths will never change about you, because it is unchangeable truths for the child of God. Number six, believers are blessed with all spiritual blessings. believers are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That's what you have because you are a child of God, because you're standing in position before God. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Number 7. Believers are accepted in the Beloved. The word Beloved refers to Christ. He's the Beloved. Believers are accepted in the Beloved, Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted, where? In Christ, in the Beloved. In Christ, I am acceptable before God. In Adam, I am unacceptable. In Christ, He has made me acceptable. Number 8. I'll go over these again real quickly, and we'll finish up to number 9. Number 8, the believer is seated in heavenly places. The believer is seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2, verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, where? In Christ Jesus. Again, the position. The believer seated in heavenly places. That's your position in Christ. Number 9. The believer is clothed in the righteousness of God. The believer is clothed in the righteousness of God. Philippians 3:9. And be found where? In Him. That's the key to the standing position. Be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of which is of God by faith. There's so many more we could cover, time will not permit. These are verses that speak, that address your standing. Let me go through them again. Number 1, the believer is God's child. Number 2, the believer is an heir of God. Number 3, the believer has an inheritance. Number 4, the believers are a royal priesthood. Number 5, believers are kings and priests. Number 6, believers are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Number 7, believers are accepted in the Beloved. Number 8, believers are seated in heavenly places. And number 9, the believers clothed in the righteousness of God. Here's another quote I found in the Scofield Bible, which has a lot to say about the standing state. Listen to this very carefully, please. Listen. Every one of these marvelous things I just spoke about, the 9 things, is true of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one item in this glorious inventory is said to be gained by prayer or diligence in service or church going or holiness in life or by any other description of good works. All are gifts of God through Christ, and therefore belong equally to all believers. When the jailer of Philippi believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, he became at the very once, that moment, a child of God, a joint heir with Christ, a king and a priest, had a title to the incorruptible, undefiled, and unfading inheritance. In the instant that he believed, he was justified from all things, had peace with God, a standing in His grace, and a sure hope of glory. He received the gift of eternal life. He was made accepted in full measure of Christ's own acceptance. Instantly, he was clothed with the righteousness of God, quickened with the Christ, raised with Him, and seated in the heavenlies. That's true of everyone who knows Christ as Savior. However, what his actual state may be is quite another matter, and certainly far, far below his exalted standing in the sight of God. It was not all at once that he became as royal, priestly, and heavenly in walk as he was at once in his standing. What God does, He puts you in a position. He says, now act like it. The Bible says, because your position, you are a saint. Now, act like it. A saint is not because of your practice. the same position because of your standing in Christ. Interesting. In the Catholic Church, they have many saints that they worship. Did you know all believers are saints? Whether you live like it or not, you are a saint because of your position standing in Christ. And then he says in the scripture, now you ought to live like a saint. He put you in a position, then he says, act like it, live like it. Now, those are verses that address the believer's standing. Now look at the ones that address the believer's state. These are quite different. And these are the ones mentioned of the Corinthian church. Number one, the believer's state is often full of contentions. The believer's state, number one, is often full of contentions. In 1 Corinthians 1:11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. There's strife, contentions among these believers. Number two, the believer's state can have jealousy and strife. The believer's state, his practice, can have jealousy and strife. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, talking about jealousy, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men. What a contrast between a position and practice. The believer's state, often full of contentions. The believer's state can have jealousy and strife. Number three, the believer's state can have fault among you. Can have fault among you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. That's their state. That's their practice. And number four, again, there's another verse that addresses the believer's state, his practice. And number four, sadly, even sometimes immorality. Sometimes Christians get involved with immorality. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? That's their practice. And so, I hope that you'll go over it again. So you can see there's a vast difference between a Christian's position and his practice. A vast difference between his standing and his state. Now, let's look at a comparison of our standing and state. A comparison between the two. Please write these down. Our standing will never change. Our standing, our position, will never change. Once you're placed there, you are there for all eternity. It cannot improve or deteriorate. It can never alter. You are perfect in Christ. That will never change. However, our state may constantly change. It should be improving all the time. Sometimes it's just the opposite. It's getting worse. Your position never changes. Your practice sometimes often changes. It should be getting better all the time. As you're growing, and the scripture uses the word sanctification, growing more like Christ, your spiritual state should be getting better all the time. Letter B, our salvation and our acceptance before God is based upon our position, not our practice. Our salvation and our acceptance before God is based upon our position and not our practice. Those churches that believe you can lose your salvation, they base it upon your practice. That you can be saved today and lost tomorrow. But it's based upon something that never changes. Based upon your position, your standing before God. Letter C. Every believer has the same standing, though each have a different state. When I use the word state, I'm not talking about Georgia or Florida, okay? I'm talking about your spiritual condition. Let us see, every believer has the exact same standing, though each have a different state. Now, I'll read these again in a moment because I know you're trying to write them down. Nothing frustrates me more when I'm in a class and I'm writing so fast I can't even understand what they're saying. So I hope I'm not going too fast for you. Letter D. Our standing comes from the fact that we have God's nature. In other words, we become partakers of a divine nature, according to 1 Peter. Our standing comes from the fact that we have a divine nature. Our state comes from the fact that we still possess an old sinful nature. Let me read that again. Our standing comes from the fact that we have a divine nature given to us by God Himself. Our state comes from the fact that we are still possess an old sinful nature. Letter E. Now I'll go back over these just a moment. Letter E. Our standing and our state will never entirely correspond while we're in this body. Our standing and our state will never entirely correspond while we live in this body. Remember, your standing is perfect. You'll never be perfect in this life. Someone said, you'll never be sinless, but you should always strive to sin less. However, it is God's will that there should be an increasing correspondence between the two day by day. Let me read those again. Comparison between our standing and our state. Letter A, our standing will never change. Our state may constantly change. Letter B, our salvation and our acceptance before God is based upon our position and not our practice. That's the reason you cannot lose your salvation. Letter C, every believer has the same standing, though each have a different state, a different practice. Letter D, our standing, our position comes from the fact that we have God's nature. Our state or practice comes from the fact that we are still possess an old sinful nature. And letter E, our standing and our state will never entirely correspond while we are in this body. However, it should be increasingly corresponding on a day-by-day basis. Listen to this carefully. The consistent order in the New Testament is to find the believer's standing or position first, then his state or practice second. Several of the epistles are structured on this order. In Ephesians, for instance, the first three chapters describe what we are in Christ. The last three chapters describe what we should be in our daily lives. Here's what C.I. Scofield said about this. The student of God's word cannot fail to notice that the divine order under grace, the believer is first given his highest possible standing and then exhorted to maintain a state in accordance therewith. The beggar is lifted up from the dunghill and set among princes, then exhorted to be princely. How true that is. Now, are you with me so far? I'm just about done. Now, this is not on your notes, but we're going to see now, the believer is admonished to put his position into practice. Look on the screen, please. The believer is admonished to put his position into practice. On the left-hand side there, our position, the Bible says, ye are the light of the world. Our practice, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Our position, for ye were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light of the Lord. Our practice, in Ephesians 5, walk as children of light. He said, you are the light, now walk in the light. Ephesians 2:6, our position, said, he hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 3:1, if ye then being risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Our position, our standing. Hebrews 10:14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are what? Sanctified. Because the offering of Christ on the cross and paid for my sin, in God's sight, I am perfect in Christ. And you are too. That will never change. Though we are not live like it. Philippians 3:12, Paul said, not as though if I have already attained, either yet already perfect, but I follow after. Our position, 1 Corinthians 6:15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Then he goes on to say, now our practice, shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Because he goes on to say, God forbid. And lastly, our position. It says, ye are the salt of the earth. That's your position. But he goes on to say in the latter part of verse 13, here's your practice. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith it shall be salted, thenceforth it is good for nothing but to be cast out and then trodden under foot of men. Again, the difference between the two. So what God does, look at me please. In the scriptures, he places you in a perfect heavenly position in Christ. My friend, that will never change. That's true because you're in Christ. Then he says, take that position and put it into practice. He does not tell you to practice it so you can get into the position. He places you in the position, then he says, now put it in practice. Do you understand that? Go with me now in your Bibles, and we'll close with this evening. Go to the book of Philippians, please, chapter 3, Philippians 3, 9. I hope that made sense to you. I encourage you to take that home, go back over it, look at it again and again, and rejoice in the position that you have in Christ. Get excited about that. Rejoice in it. Sing about it. That will never change. But may that motivate you now to live a life that's pleasing to him, to put your position into practice. Philippians 3:9, we looked at this verse already. Philippians 3:9. It says in verse 9, and be found in him, talking about Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through Christ, the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Look at me, please. You can close your Bibles. This is the schedule for tonight's service. Of course, you can see it's a white piece of paper with black writing all over it. I like to represent that, you and I, outside of Christ. The piece of paper is not clean. It's full of all kinds of sin, all kind of darkness, all kinds of things done wrong. Now, that's in Adam. If you stand before God this way, you're going to be condemned. You're going to receive God's judgment, God's wrath, because what he sees is your sin. But the Bible says, Paul said, those that are sin, let this Bible represent Jesus Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which are the law, but the righteousness which is God by faith. So when I put my faith in Christ, God doesn't see me with all my sin. He sees Christ. And that's the reason you go to heaven. Not based upon your righteousness, not based upon your goodness, but because of his. Because I'm found in him. Not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is by faith, the righteousness of God. I have in Christ. My friend, that is shouting news. And I encourage you to take that home with you, go back over it, read it over again, and ask the Spirit of God to bear witness with your spirit what is truth and apply it to your life. Let's bow together, please. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm hoping each one of you here have established a right standing before God. A perfect standing before God, and that comes simply by placing your trust, your dependence upon Christ. When you place your faith in Christ, you are declared righteous in God's sight, that you are perfect in him. My friend, that will never change. That's the position God placed you in. Now, what you do in your practice will not change or have any bearing upon your position. But if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, the Bible says you're not in Christ. You're not perfect in God's sight. You are in Adam. You're looked upon as a sinner deserving the judgment, the wrath of a holy God. However, you can be moved from Adam to Christ by simply placing your dependence upon Christ to save you. The Bible says Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He lived a perfect life on this earth. Then he died on the cross. When he died there, he did not die for himself. He died for you. The payment of sin that you and I have earned from God, he took upon himself. And as our substitute, he died in our place, he was buried, and he rose again. And God the Father offers you eternal life at the expense of his Son. Because the payment Christ made on the cross and the work he accomplished there on Calvary, God says, I'll forgive you. I'll give you eternal life as a free gift. Your part is to receive him by faith as your Savior. If you have, then you have a righteous standing before God. If you have not, why not do it here tonight? Right where you're sitting. Why not place your dependence upon Christ? Why not trust Christ to be your Savior? If you do not know how to do that, why not talk to God and maybe say something simply like this? Just say, Dear God in heaven, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. As a sinner, I deserve your punishment. But God, I believe your Son, Jesus, was punished in my place. I believe he died for me, he was buried, and I believe he rose again. And right here tonight, I'm depending upon Christ to be my Savior, to save me, forgive me, and to give me eternal life. I'm trusting Christ, my Savior, right here tonight. As your heads are bowed and your eyes still closed, my friend, if you trust Christ as Savior, right now you have a perfect standing before God. He placed you in Christ, not having your own righteousness, but you have the righteousness of God in Christ. If you did that tonight, I'd like to pray for you. With heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that made sense to you and you trusted Christ your Savior here tonight and allow me to rejoice with you and know that you did that, I want to pray for you. I'm not going to have you forward or point you out or embarrass you in any way, but I'd love to know that and pray for you as I close the service. So if what I said made sense to you and you prayed with me to receive Christ as Savior, with no one looking around, no one leaving, right where you're at, just simply raise your hand so I know that you did that so I can pray for you. And with all, Pastor, here's my hand. I trusted Christ to be my Savior. And we're all tonight. Father, we rejoice and thank you so much for the position we have in Christ. A perfect standing before Holy God we have because we're in Christ Jesus. I pray, Father, we would relish and rejoice in that position, but allow that to motivate us now to put it into practice, that our state, our practice, would move closer to our standing in everyday life. In Christ's name we pray, amen.